Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to honor you. Your purpose and your plan is unfolding. I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. What your Spirit is downloading to me. Amen. I would like to share with you a little bit of what happened at 2:59 this morning. First Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy, that's verse 19, the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate You know, when we read these words, it's showing you the overall control of our Father. So, if you'll come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I pray it'll be helpful to go a little deeper. I'm using the NIV. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, I stress the word being. Because it implies levels of salvation. And that is correct. There are levels of salvation. When you're born again, that's one corner. But now you're watching, as we shared earlier this morning, the ways of God's Holy Spirit taking you higher into that salvation. You're watching your soul be transformed, your mind, will, and emotions. Then it says, it is the power of God. So, the message of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, and I will frustrate. He is going to frustrate those that think they know it all. This morning, I had a few corners that I was listening to. And the author isn't important. But the commentator was that we have schools in Michigan now that literally have satanic clubs in school. And it's being advertised. But you can't have a Bible club in school. But you can have a satanic one. Okay. So, the commentator made a couple of comments, and there was a guest speaker who happens to be one of the satanic worshipers that's teaching the children openly. The other night, I ran across a report that showed the demon spirit Behemoth in a crib in a picture of a manger scene in a school in Chicago or north of Chicago. So now their boldness is getting a little more and a little more and a little more. You feed a lie enough, the communist agenda is keep feeding the lie and it becomes their truth. But notice who will frustrate. The frustration's already begun in our country. I believe Holy Spirit is on the job in many cases. And you heard my brother's comments about the systems of the court, connected right into Psalm 82, which, you know, we had a few weeks ago. And it's so clear. It's crystal clear. Because you lived it. When you live something, it becomes your experience, and you taste for yourself what the truth is. Verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Now that's the world system. We're living in it. Amen? This was written 2,000 years ago by St. Paul. Has anything changed? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? When he allowed his son to die on that cross, the people of 2,000 years ago laughed. Some celebrated and some wept. Some got rid of the irritation that they had been putting up with for 3.5 years. Some wept because their hope of getting rid of the Romans was in the grave. Depending on the mindset, it showed which segment of that day was alive in the Lord and which ones were in their minds, will, and were their emotions, ruling and reigning in the carnal way which we still see today. 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. 22. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. But, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong.
He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. It was because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. I repeat. 30. It is because of Jesus that you are in Christ Jesus, meaning anointed of the Savior, who has become for us wisdom from God. So you don't think the way you used to. You don't act and react the way you used to. You're learning how to overcome the things of the carnal world, because it will pass away. But there's a rest saints that's ongoing. There's a recreation going on right now where they're going from the mind of the carnal man to the mind of Christ. When your mind is anointed, you change and you see the changes that happen in you and in those around you. What used to baffle you and try to torment no longer is effective because you are of a higher order. You have the mind of Christ that snaps in and says, now how about doing it this way? How about if you don't respond at all? Let them soak in their demands. Is it worth responding sometimes? Sometimes you may have the nudge to do so, but in most cases, you're going to see reactionary responses.
They can't really hear what you're saying.
They can't.
Can't hear it.
They can't hear what you're saying. 30 again, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. I need to hear an amen.
Amen.
You guys are all sleeping. No, okay. You're with me, right?
Yes.
All right. Watching how you act and react is alive in St. Paul's words, 2,000 years old. A little more ammunition for the fire. Romans 1:18. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Whew. 1 Peter 4:18. If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Second Peter chapter 2 verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. On a side note, just kind of put that word on side right now. My great-grandson came over to visit yesterday because his mother and the two girls went shopping. And my wife, of course, has been taking care of them. And when they get out of school, Irene is there to get them off the bus and so on and so forth. I can't tell you which day, but I would say maybe Thursday or Friday or both. There's been some talk about, you know, bad words that come out of somebody's mouth and what it does. So Matthew said something about damn. And here's his great-grandmother said, you know, that's not a nice word, because do you know what that means when you say damn this and damn that or damn them? So he said, no. Well, she says, when you damn somebody, you're sending them to hell. Well, what's that? He says. Well, she said, you know, when you say a bad word and you're damning someone, you're sending them to hell, which, well, he says, what is that? So Irene says, well, heaven is the place where God lives and where Jesus lives and all the good people, the ones that know that it is right things to do and good words that will really change people. But when you damn somebody, you're going to hell with all the devils. He says, oh, is that right? He says, my mother going there? So, you know, he's heard corrections from both sides. So now, of course, Irene says, come on, Matthew, God is full of mercy. And so she ended up with a lesson on mercy. So when you're feeding little ones, they're hungry. So they came over Friday because of commitments that both the parents had to do something. So they came over, and the 9-year or 8-year-old Faith asked why the manger scene is still on the shelf in the family room. So I said to her, well, it's because the kings are coming. You know, let's face it. I mean, we got to keep those kings. And so later on during the day, she asked for some paper, and she made a paper for her grandmother and me. And it's a picture of baby Jesus, Mary, and she puts her name, Joseph's name, the camels. She didn't get to the kings yet, but she got to the animals. And she wrote them all down. And she pictured it pretty darn nice. And I was saying to the Lord, how many grandmothers are feeding their kids? How many are taking the time? Yes, she's 85. She does this 3 days a week. She is feeding them what they haven't got at home. And certainly not what they're going to learn in school. Amen. So you see, you might have a job you don't want down the road. You might think retirement is refirement if you're fired it up to give out love and give out grace. Whatever you're doing, whichever way you're operating, whomever God chooses for you to feed, the word of the Lord. Peter 2:5. If he did not save the world when he brought the flood on it, ungodly people, but protected Noah and the preacher of righteousness and seven others. The good news is she's educating Matthew and Faith in the things that she taught Gabriella. 2 Peter 3:7. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. You got to put the reality check. Most people just don't put the destruction of ungodly men. They think that the godly will be destroyed with them. It's a lie from hell. Peter is very clear. God is about to do some house cleaning in the United States of America, and he's going to get rid of the ungodly, the wicked. And you don't have a clue of how wicked they really are. And their strategy to destroy this nation. So I need to be able to say to you, look further into the things of God so you don't panic when you see darkness hitting us. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you, not outside of you, in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred. And you are that temple. Doesn't say might be. You are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, etc., because there's a discussion in that church about who's the great one. And Paul is making it clear the great one is the Spirit within him. And it's the same Spirit in you. So he's dealing with carnal men, just like you. He's dealing with people who don't believe the fullness of who you are now. So I want you to take your right hand and put it over your belly again. Say, Holy Spirit, I know you're resident in me. And this is the temple that you live in. It's not in downtown Jerusalem. It's not the one that burnt. It's the one that the fire is alive in. And it's Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost power. Because he's not done with us. And I will feed the hungry. Whoever you bring to me, I will declare, as the Lord leads, that I have Holy Ghost wisdom in me. And I won't let up until they change. Give me grace and favor to feed the hungry. As I was fed. Somebody took time to change my atmosphere so that I could live the anointed life of Holy Spirit, having a wonderful day in me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Kosharata bie robasata yet. Kurababahasa kurbahishikiata.